Members, I'm going to unofficially call us to order. Not quite having a quorum. A couple more people and we'll have that. But we do need to get going with some business today. So we will start out with Representative Torkelson on House File 2830.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 2830 is a bill dealing with spending on a radio project. It's an AMPRS project, and I have a testifier here that will give you the details.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. And face is familiar. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Tom Hansen, and I represent AMPRS. And we're obviously supportive of the bill. I ran into Representative Torkelson at lunch today, and I said if I didn't know any better, this looks like something the chairman would really like. So we think it's a great idea. We could certainly make use. Appreciate the support of the committee.
Thank you. Anyone have questions of Representative Torkelson or Mr. Hansen? Okay, we will. You want to move to your next bill then?
Yes, I believe we cannot take any official action.
Yeah, we have to wait for one more person, and that is here. Oh, we can now.
And so, what would be the proper motion on 2830, Mr. Chair?
Well, first, I will officially call the committee to order, and the motion would be to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you. I'd like to move House File 2830 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you. You can move to your next bill.
Next bill is 2831, and this is a similar bill, a similar issue, but this time it's Minnesota Public Radio, and I have a testifier here for the bill.
Welcome. Identify yourself, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thanks for your time. My name is Nick Lighthizer from Minnesota Public Radio. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just like to tell you a little bit about the bill, a little bit about the project, and answer any questions that you have. We had a John Beeman, who used to work at Minnesota Public Radio back in the 1980s, has been on to become an award-winning documentarian. He grew up in Mankato and always learned about the Dakota conflict after he left, after he graduated from high school, and always wondered why he never learned more about it growing up. So he's proposing this project, documentary, to air this fall on the 150th anniversary of the conflict. The idea is that it'll be a one-hour documentary that'll air twice in full on Minnesota Public Radio on our news station throughout the state. Excerpts will air on our other daily news programs, Morning Edition, The Daily Circuit, and All Things Considered. There'll be a very big, rich web presence with audio, video, pictures, text. And we'll have a live event, potentially in partnership with another media organization, where we'll hold a discussion, highlight some of the learnings from the project, as well as make text of the project and audio of the project available to other media organizations for rebroadcast or print after the fact, to kind of extend the reach a little bit. With that, I will answer any questions that the committee has.
Just a second. Would you please spell your name so that my LA can get this?
Lighthizer, L-E-I. T-H-E-I-S-E-R.
Okay, and then before I forget, move to the minutes here. Representative Dill, have you looked over the minutes of Tuesday, March 13th?
I did. I noticed a lot of chairs billed on the minutes.
Find them.
I
think
that they will be funded.
So you are moving to approve the minutes of March 13th.
Absolutely.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Let's try that again. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Torkelson.
Who will own these programs at the end?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would turn that over to the testifier.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, that is a good question, and I don't know the answer, but I can look into it for you and get back to you.
Okay. And Mr. Chair?
Representative Murphy?
Representative Torkelson, that answer is fine with me if we get back to, but who will own the EMPERS program and the previous bill?
Representative Torkelson, would you like to have Mr. Hansen join you again?
Mr. Chair, if Mr. Hansen knows the answer to the question, I would be more than happy to have him rejoin us at the testifying stand, even though it's on the previous bill.
Mr. Hansen, as you are coming up, the question is who would own the program after it has been produced?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, I know that once the program is produced, that it becomes part of the database on the AMPERS website and is available to the public. I think that I'm fairly certain that's what's going to happen, so people will have access to it.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Hansen, if that is not correct, will you advise me of how it is? And will other AMPER stations be able to run it whenever they want and so forth?
Mr. Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, that is correct, and I will check, and if the understanding is different, I will let you know. But the whole intent of their programming is to, and part of the use of the legacy funds is to establish the online database so that all the member stations are able to use it and benefit from it. And that's been what has been so wonderful about the funds that you have.
Thank you. Any other questions from the audience or members? You may renew your motion, Representative Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion to lay House File 2830 over for possible inclusion. Oh, make 2831.
Thank you. Having to put my glasses on to check.
I had my pages upside down.
All right. Those bills will be laid over for possible inclusion. And now we, you're excused, sir. Thank you very much. Now we will be moving to House File 2806. There will be no action or motions on this bill. This is the Clean Water public discussion. And we'll have amendments. The amendment is available. I think it's in your packets, members, so you know what could be discussed as well as the bills. The amendment can be discussed in the bill as well. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll be working off of the DE1 that's in your packets that completely replaces the original bill, so if members would care to turn to the DE1. I will just highlight the changes that are in here. Basically, what we're looking at is approximately $6 million of clean water legacy funding that's available to be spent this year, and this bill will spend that and still leave an adequate cushion on the bottom line to assure the fiscal integrity of the fund going forward. Starting out on page one, just a small addition of language that, as you may remember, we added four legislators as non-voting members of the council, and there was some question about whether their expenses could be covered by the same fund that covers the expenses of other members of the council, and consulting with staff, it seemed like that was perfectly in order, but we didn't have language in the statute, so this language just makes that official, that the Pollution Control Agency may reimburse legislative members for their expenses. It'd be expenses only. It would not include per diem. And then turning ahead in the bill to page three, this is a section of last year's Clean Water Legacy Bill that has to do with water reuse. There's been some difficulty with reusing stormwater, so this would really turn this into a wastewater reuse project, but no change in dollars. And then moving ahead to page 7 of the bill, this is where we actually start allocating that $6 million I mentioned earlier. Most of it's to various Bowser programs, and at this point in the testimony, I would like to ask a representative from Bowser to come to the testifying table to run through these in detail.
Thank you, Representative Farquharson. Will the representative from Bowser, please? Is that a city in Minnesota? Ms. Blackburn, identify yourself, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Julie Blackburn. I'm Assistant Director for the Minnesota Board of Water and Soil Resources, a.k.a. Bowser. Starting with under Section 7A, this is an increase of $1.6 million for our major category of competitive grant funds that goes to practices and projects to actually improve water quality. This is our largest and most successful program that we have and is getting those clean water outcomes on the ground. So it's a very competitive program and would increase the amount of projects that are going in the ground, on the ground, for water quality improvement. Under Section B, this would increase this category of funding by $600,000. This is what we call our accelerated implementation grant category. And this is the kind of grants that would go towards doing the work ahead of developing projects. So it might be doing the SSTS inventories. It might be taking that LIDAR data and applying it to the landscape in order to develop targeting tools for where we're going to apply those practices. So this is the background work. These are the grants that give us the background work in order for us to get the best practice on the ground in the best location for the best outcomes. Item number C is an increase to Bowser's accountability and oversight program area for about $300,000. This is specifically to address a brand new database program that we are currently, we just accepted an RFP. Many of you have heard about our e-link reporting program. That's where all of our grants are managed for the local units of government. It's where they do all of their reporting. This program has been in place. The only upgrade that we've had to it was in 2007 in order to make it web-based. But this program has been in place since 2003 and really was not built to do the kind of work, the kind of accountability, the kind of reporting and accessibility of mapping, public query of mapping practices that we're currently looking at right now. And that's needed by the legacy amendment. So we went out for an RFP to develop a brand new database, which includes everything from how folks apply for these grants to how they report their outcomes in the end. The RFP responses came back considerably higher than we expected, and we know that we need to do it, but we certainly would be looking for about half of the cost of that to be covered by this increase. On page 9, item D, increases conservation drainage grants by $700,000 and expands the program. We have been faced within the state an incredibly accelerated amount of tiling drainage that's been going in. There currently are no rules or regulations that affect this drainage off of agricultural land. The program that we have in place currently is about retrofits to drainage systems for water quality improvement. We went out last fall, and looked at the amount of drainage that's going in the ground. One example is the Bois de Sioux Watershed District. Last year permitted, and they do have some water quality requirements on their permits, but they permitted 1,600 miles of tiles being put in the ground. And we have talked to lots of folks through environmental agencies, ag agencies, through the drainage work group. We brought this idea to the drainage work group that if we're going to make an impact on drainage from those new tile systems, we need to get those conservation practices on the new tile systems. Contractors are not going to be available to go back in and do retrofits. We want to get those practices on the ground when they're doing the tile systems, making it very, very clear that we are not paying for tiling. We are not incentivizing tiling. What we're trying to do is get conservation drainage practices put on those tile outlets. This is a new practice, a new program that has also just been announced in December by the Natural Resource Conservation Service, our federal partner. They're also just working on how they're going to deliver this program. We believe that we do have significant interest in making this happen, but it's going to be cheaper if it's being done while the tiles are being put in the ground, and we're just taking care of that conservation practice, and we're going to get better outcomes if we do it at the same time. So it's more money, and it's also an expansion of that program in order to meet the challenge of drainage. And the last change item is on page 10, and that is item F. And that's a $1 million increase to the permanent conservation easement programs. It's currently four wellhead protection areas. We have had the southeast corner of the state, a bunch of the local units of government and some of the nonprofit groups, as well as cities, come to us and say, there is this area that's basically called the Decorah Edge, St. Peter's Edge, of the karst area. It's a very, very defined area, geologic feature, that basically has accelerated groundwater recharge and is highly vulnerable to groundwater contamination. And there is a USGS study that identifies very clearly where this recharge area is, and it's an expansion of that groundwater protection program for this Decorah Shale area, the edge, or in St. Lawrence, excuse me, not St. Peter, St. Lawrence Edge. So it's expanding that in order to provide additional groundwater protection. And that summarizes the Bowser changes to the clean water portion. And with that, I would take any questions.
Keep talking.
Or keep talking.
Questions? Yes, Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Blackburn, I remember discussions from last year about the whole planting issue with respect to Bowser, and I wonder if you could remind me of how your budget works. I assume that you've got sort of an agency budget, and then you have substantial grants that you are distributing. Could you break that down for us by general fund, other funds, and legacy, and what that looks like?
Ms. Blackburn?
Without, you know, it's obviously might be a lot of detailed information, but even if you could give a general picture without specific dollars, it'd be fine.
Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, I'm going to go from memory here because I haven't reviewed those numbers in a while. The Bowser General Fund that goes to administration, and I'm not sure if you're speaking just specifically to administration or all of our grants programs.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Blackburn, all the money that flows through your agency.
Okay. As far as our the grants programs, on the general fund, about 75% of our general fund goes through the agency out to local units of governments for grants. There are a couple of main grant programs. One of them is the Natural Resource Block Grant, and that goes to counties to implement state rules and regulations and minimum standards. The second one goes out to soil and water conservation districts. We call it conservation delivery grants, and those really are basically paying for the operations. We would hope for about a third of the operations for soil and water conservation districts. And then the third grant program, the third main pass-through is that cost-share program. The cost-share program is to pay for practices. It's an exclusive program that goes to soil and water conservation districts. In the last two bienniums, all three of those grant programs have seen significant decreases, and particularly to the cost share program, and that's the one that is exclusive to Soil and Water Conservation Districts for practices.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Winkler.
Ms. Blackburn, so you said that 75% of your general fund money goes out through these three grant programs.
Yes.
And the other 25%, I would assume, is agency. It goes to the agency itself to run the agency?
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, that's correct. We also implement the Wetland Conservation Program. We have our board conservationists that work with all of our local units of government to develop watershed planning. And obviously, we have an easement program that requires a significant amount of coordination as well.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Blackburn. So you've got these three grant programs that are funded from the general fund. And just how does the legacy funding that you receive compare or overlay with that?
Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, that's a good question. As far as the overlay with the programs, the way that the Clean Water Fund has been developed, both in the previous biennium and in this biennium, has been to develop competitive programs that are open to all units of government that have a state-approved, locally adopted water plan. And so they are for practices, for implementation, and for some of these special and unique programs that have not been done before, like the Accelerated Implementation Program. We never had a grant program like that before, so that's a brand new program. The practices and projects main category of funding is different than the cost share practice program in that it is available to all local units of government and it is competitive. And that's not, the other grants are base grants that go to soil and water conservation districts on a formula basis. The other thing that's just for me really important to keep in mind that is that the amount, we went from 4 or 5 years ago, an agency that had a $20 million a year budget to now we have about a $60 million a year budget. We also had this restriction the first 2 years for our grants, which was a 5% administrative cap that no other agency had, and quite honestly has been very difficult to implement, and I believe their general fund supplemented the Clean Water Fund for the first 2 years, and that we are now just catching up. We're behind.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Blackburn, you said you went from a $20 million budget to a $60 million budget over 4 years, roughly. What is your, so presumably in the past, the $20 million was all general fund. And what is your current general fund budget this biennium?
Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, I really would need to look that up. I'm not going to have that off the top of my head. I can certainly get a budget snapshot, provide that to this committee. I know that we have some on our website. There's some information there, but I would rather get you the appropriate correct numbers rather than try to speculate right now. It's just not at the forefront of my mind. And I just want to let you know that right before I got here, actually, we were just interviewing for a compliance director person, which is very much about this. And so I just was not thinking about that mindset when I came here today, so I apologize for that.
Mr. Chair, Ms.
Representative Winkler.
That's okay. You may be uncomfortable doing this, but is it closer to $5 million or closer to $15 million from the general fund? If you're not comfortable, just...
No, Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, it's closer to $15
million. Okay.
In the last, our appropriations this year, I believe that our administrative budget had about a 7% decrease. The other programs, the two main grant programs had a similar decrease. It was the cost share program that had a more significant decrease. We actually, in the last biennium, we had a very severe decreases, and I think there was some work to try to recover some of that. But it is closer to 15 rather than 5.
And
Representative Winkler?
Ms. Blackburn, just the final point. You said with respect to the cost share program that is different from your current legacy programs because it is not. It is now. It's a competitive grant program rather than a formula-based program, and it's available to all units, local units of government with an approved water plan. And those are my terms, not yours. But is that basically the difference?
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, yes, that is the case. The cost share program was established a number of different years ago. It has a statute and rules that guide the distribution of those funds, and particularly what they can be used for. They do go exclusively to soil and water conservation districts who must submit a plan in order to an annual plan of how they're going to spend those dollars. So the delivery of that is different. The amount of practices and types of activities that can go under the Clean Water Fund is expanded from the cost share program because the cost share program is regulated by a rule, and so it has a much more definition to it.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Blackburn, our ABLE DFL researcher has suggested that the number general fund budget could be something like 12.5 per year. Does that seem somewhere in the ballpark?
Ms. Blackburn?
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, I really would be okay. Much more comfortable right. Getting you the information specifically.
Last question then. you said that the cost share program had undergone a significant decrease. Mm-hmm. Do you have a ballpark percentage?
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, it has been greater than a 60% decrease over the last 10 years. And that's come both through specific programs like the buffer program, the feedlot program. There used to be many categories of the cost share program that included, you know, was included in the big total. The cuts to that program started happening in a number of years ago. As soon as the Clean Water Legacy Act came about and the general fund infusion of that. And so it's been, it's had significant decreases really over the last 10 years. And because of that, last year we also had some program adjustments where instead of having specific categories, we had all of the categories eliminated. So there's only one funding pool. Otherwise, it really got too small to manage.
And Representative Winkler, Mr. Chair, Ms. Blackburn, for this cost share program versus your legacy competitive grant program, does it fund different types of projects? I know that the eligible recipients are different, and the decision for the funding mechanism is different. Are the projects on the ground actually different?
Ms. Blackburn?
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, yes, the eligibility of practices and projects under the Clean Water Fund is greatly expanded. Because the cost share program goes under rules and because it is, there are only practices that come under the field office technical guide, which is the NRCS program, they are fairly defined. With the expansion of the Clean Water Fund, we are looking at a lot more creative application of the projects because they are much more on a watershed base rather than working on a specific landowner project. And so it might be that you're looking at an entire chain of lakes project, which is more involved in the lake management, more involved in wetland management, more involved in stormwater management, where the cost share program is really working with individual landowners typically on specific practices that they can implement on their own property.
Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Torkelson or Ms. Blackburn on this point? Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just continue then with the last section of the bill that starts on page 11. This is a new venture for the Clean Water Legacy Fund. It dedicates $1.8 million towards research in the area of AIS. With that, I believe we have reached the end of the DE1, and I would stand for any other questions.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson, on the last section, the invasive species, $1.8 million. Now, just so folks are clear, in discussions that we've had, there was another $1.8 million as well for this from where? Or am I mistaken?
Mr. Chair, there may be other sources of funding that we will discuss later in this committee, but they are not part of this bill, and at this point, I don't think they're part of any bill.
So you want to wait on that, then?
I do want to wait on that, but this is an area of a lot of interest across the state of Minnesota for many different interest groups, and the funding of research, I think, is an important part of our effort here at the state, and I believe that Representative Genius might want to get your attention and elucidate this.
Who? Just one second, Representative Genius. Well, I would, you know, as we go through this, Mr. Soderbergh has Soderbergh. You've been called a lot over the years, haven't you? Anyway, Ron has been keeping the compilation of what money is available for this, so I think be in consultation with him. Would you care to give a little report where we are right now and what's been subtracted out here and there?
Mr. Chairman and members, I do have a funny story about my name. My grandfather.
Feel free.
My grandfather immigrated from Sweden, and his stepfather, he had a stepfather, and he was pretty a mean person, so he left the country to come here, and he never told anybody about our family at all. He just wanted to forget about his past. And so about 4 years ago, a lady from England contacted us through the internet, and we found out for all these years we mispronounce our name. So we can go with Soderbergh or Soderbergh. Either way, it works both ways. So
I've been doing it both ways as well.
But I was. But to your question, Mr. Chairman, the recent forecast came out a couple weeks ago showed the forecasted balance in the Clean Water Fund to be $9,847,000. This bill, or this amendment, the delete all amendments, was presented is for $6 million, and that would be $3,847,000 on the bottom line. And that's a little over 4% of the expected collections in fiscal year FY13 for this particular fund.
Okay, thank you. Representative Wiginius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have a Swedish name that has multiple pronunciations, so I get that. When you staff posted that bills for today looked like we were going to hear the whole legacy bill, and because of that, I sent down an amendment to the legacy bill. It was based on a bill that I had introduced earlier, and it is an alternative to at least partially the funding that Representative Torkelson has done. And I could talk about that today, or I could talk about it next week at your pleasure.
Well, Representative Wiginius, if you want to start today, you know, talking about it, this is information. I'm sorry that there have been various strategies, proposals on how and when to put this together, and we have had to change our planning a couple of times, so that's why we're not doing what was posted today. But if you want to talk about the amendment, you can.
Well, basically, we had heard a presentation from Dr. Peter Sorensen. Many of us have heard it in various places, and his proposal is a one-time $15,455,000 expenditure for an institute for invasive species research or invasive species research center. But it's not a building. It is hiring folks, probably many coming from outside the state, to look at zebra mussels and carp and other aquatic invasive species, looking for their vulnerabilities, because on one hand we're spending a ton of money probably to set up barriers, which is good, but that just slows, everybody knows that just slows down invasives. So we need a strategy to do something else. And so that's the proposal he had. So it was an 8-year cost. And since I knew we didn't have $15 million, I thought it would be fair to spend about a third of that this year, or fund about a third of that. And so I have a proposal, and we can just hand it out so people can see exactly what the... Do we have a page?
Yep.
Okay. So people are... I mean, this is all... So what you're going to get is a sheet that looks like this, that this is Dr. Sorensen's full proposal. The yellow highlights are the things that I work with Dr. Sorensen to pick out, which is kind of the first out of the chute. One of them didn't get highlighted, and I'll tell you about that. But and this sheet says in a little more descriptive what we would fund. And essentially, it starts the work on both Asian parts, understanding them, just kind of like the FBI profiles its enemies. We've got to profile our enemy. And so we're going to start to understand carp and zebra mussels and other aquatics. The money is divided pretty much in half. So two people working on zebra mussels, two people working on carp, essentially. And then the folks that work with them, the lab managers, the graduate students, and that's funded at $5.4 million. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I think I certainly have heard from Minnesotans that they want something significant done with invasive species. They don't want us to nibble around the edges. And when I look at the math of spending just $1.8 million over what we have available in Legacy, which is for water and heritage, that's $176 million per year. And so we would be spending 0.5% in the biennium on carp and invasive species. I think Minnesotans would expect us to do a little more than that. And so that's my proposal. And if I've not been clear, I would love to hear. I do support all of Dr. Sorensen's proposal. It's just picking out a third of it to get started.
Thank you, Representative Wagenius. And you know, appreciate the thought and effort you've put into this. I urge members to look over this, to consider the invasive species problem. And I'm glad that Representative Torkelson is addressing it as well. And we'll look more at it when we put this together. Representative Torkelson, any comments on Representative Wagenius's amendment or anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did speak with Representative Wagenius before this meeting, and we are setting up a meeting to meet again on Friday. So we will continue to discuss the issues that she has presented today and come up with the plan that we can all hopefully support.
Okay. Well, thank you then, Representative Torkelson. Anyone else have any questions or comments on this? This will be, again, before us next week when we'll take official action on it. Okay, then. Thank you, Representative Torkelson. We have one more bill before us. Representative Vogel. House File 2791.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Vogel, I'll move that this bill be laid over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You're getting handed out here a little map of the state of Minnesota. What this bill really does, it talks about the Let's Go Fishing program that is out there. And what we're asking for, well, I think a lot of you probably are aware of what the Let's Go Fishing program is about. It's about taking senior citizens, disabled people, veterans, young children out and getting them out on the water and on pontoons and getting them involved in part of what Minnesota's heritage is all about, and that's fishing. And what we have is a request from the organization for a one-time $100,000 grant here. And in talking with the Mr. Holmes from Let's Go Fishing, he has assured me this is the last money that they are going to ask for, and I pretty much assured him it was the last time I'd carry a bill for this and that. But he did say that, and so they just they feel that after this year they are going to be totally self-sufficient. They have I think it's over 29 chapters around the state already, and they are looking to continue to add more chapters to that. And as I say, I know that's I think there's over 30,000 Minnesotans in the last year that have benefited from using this program. I mean, they take a lot of people out in the summertime, and a lot of it's volunteer people who volunteer to help and stuff as well. So with that, Mr. Chair, that's I'll stand for questions.
Hey, members, do you have questions of Representative Vogel? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I believe this organization has been established for many years.
That's correct.
Yeah, Representative Vogel.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Murphy.
2002, mm-hmm. And it has received money from DNR in various grants or agency funding, and how is the money that the $100,000 going to be used where we wouldn't be supplanting what has come before?
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Murphy. Honestly, I'm not sure that it would be supplanting. It's going to be used to continue to establish, more new chapters and in recruiting more people to get involved. And so I guess that's all I can tell you as far as that goes. I do know, as you said, that in 2009, they did request funding, and my predecessor, actually, I know, carried the bill for that. And so I guess that's why I'm here today, too.
I'll just add, Representative Vogel, Representative Murphy, that over the years, the DNR has been dragged, kicking and screaming, into support for this. One time, I believe it was part of the final budget negotiations at the end of session, where Representative Junkie very forcefully discussed this issue with DNR and the governor. And yes, they have funded in the past, but it's not something that they wish to do. Representative Vogel here is saying that this is the last such request. And let me just read from Section 12 of the Constitution. Preservation of hunting and fishing. Hunting and fishing and the taking of game and fish are a valued part of our heritage that shall be forever preserved for the people and shall be managed by law and regulation for the public good. And that was adopted November 3rd, 1998. So I think some could make a case that it fits under our legacy, since it's referenced in our Constitution as part of our heritage.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
I don't disagree with that, but we have four funds, and it seems to me fishing belongs with outdoor heritage and or clean water as the funds that we should be looking for the money from.
Okay, thank you. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. There is a certainly a not wise to be around here too long because your memory gets too, you have too much memory. I also remember the fight between Representative Junkie and DNR. But I also remember one other thing, and that's Mr. Holmes saying, I will not come back here and ask for money again. And actually, I've heard him do that twice. So, just a word to the wise on this committee.
Well, Representative Wagenius, I think that in light of what Representative Vogel has said and what you have said, I would say that as long as I'm chair of this committee, it will be the last time. Representative McFarland? I've lost track.
Go ahead.
Who? Representative McNamara.
Well, I could add one more person to the list of folks. I was not aware that it ever has been stated that it was funded to never come back again. I've never been very comfortable with the previous funding for this project. It's a really cool program. It's not a core function of state government, and it needs to move on and live on its own 2 feet. And this needs to be the last funding from the state of Minnesota. I'm a firm believer in that, and I think Mr. Holm knows that. He's heard it from Representative Vogel. He's heard it from Representative Wagenius. You, Mr. Chair, and I just want to go along with the other folks that this needs to survive with the private sector doing its thing and the local Rotaries and Lion Clubs or whatever they are. And I've been convinced that this $100,000 is important at this time, but I don't want to see these guys back here again. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it in a positive way. They need to move on.
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a statement about Let's Go Fishing. It's a program that we have in White Bear, and this is really a tangent, but I just needed to state it because I'm not on any of the other committees. But one of the complaints I hear from volunteers that are helping is the cost of the fishing license for the senior. And in some cases, it's not very much for that one day pass, but it is prohibitive for some people. And so if there would be some way the DNR could maybe waive the fee for the one day trip, I would support that in the future.
Thank you. Representative Winkler?
Mr. Chair, I had to step out and talk to constituents, but Representative Murphy informs me that she stated that this money should come out of Outdoor Heritage instead of the Arts Fund. And so I have a question to Representative Vogel of whether he'd be open to an amendment to the bill to have the money appropriated from the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
Mr. Soderbergh?
Mr. Chair, I was actually asking the author if he'd be open to that amendment.
Representative Winkler, I was going to ask where we have the most money available.
Okay, I'll come back to my question when you get yours answered then.
That sort of is joy.
What? You weren't hanging on every word? Mr. Soderbergh, the question is, should the money come out of clean water or another source, or should it come out of arts and cultural heritage, as is in the bill? How much money do we have in each?
Oh, okay. So what you're wondering is the balance. Well, of course, the balance is kind of in flux at this point because we don't have everything tied up and every, but I'll just give it to you as it exists with the current proposals on the table with the Outdoor Heritage. I need to look at a different sheet, Mr. Chair. If you can give me a second.
You know, perhaps Representative Winkler. Representative Winkler.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Perhaps we'll discuss this later on, and we will figure out if another source fund would be better. And you can offer the amendment however you want. But when we do this on Tuesday, it may be appropriate then to offer an amendment to take it out of another fund. We'll be open to that at this point. contingent upon our conversation with Mr. Soderbergh.
And Mr. Chair, I mean, it's sort of a rhetorical question. It doesn't really belong in any of these funds. That's the point. You know, this is up there with county fairs as arts, veterans camps as arts, using all the money for a capital restoration project, 40% for K-12 education to supplant cuts there, replacement of a tax credit or a grant program for the film industry with a grant program for arts. You know, I understand that there are members on the other side who don't think that arts are worth funding, and that if there's any issue that comes up that could possibly have a theoretical hook to something that is related to Minnesota heritage, it comes out of the Arts Fund. But that doesn't mean that it's any more appropriate to come out of there than it is to come out of the Outdoor Heritage Fund or Clean Water or Parks and Trails. That isn't what the fund is for. It isn't a dumping ground for every bill that can't come up with any other funding source.
Thank you, Representative Winkler. Further discussion? Oh, I'm sorry. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I actually take issue and disagree with Representative Winkler. I think you need to think of the great things we are doing with this arts money and the cultural and the society and what folks are doing. And just because people have a fishing pole in their hand instead of attending a concert and enjoying themselves at a concert at the neighborhood or at a historical place and they're listening to some music or attending a play or whatever, these for the most part are senior citizens, a lot of veterans homes, people that are going out for something that's really important to them, and it's part of our society. They happen to be on the water, they happen to be doing an outdoor activity, but because that's their preference for what they're doing, I don't think it makes it less cultural or that that's the inappropriate. I mean, actually, the habitat one, I don't think, I would say constitutionally it would not fit. I don't think it can go there. That one does have limitations and it doesn't fit. And to say it belongs in clean water because hopefully they're fishing in clean water, I don't think makes sense. You could argue we shouldn't be funding it. Representative Wagenius, I'd say, gave the best reason why we maybe shouldn't be funding it, because we were told that he wasn't going to be back here again to get the money. But I will tell you, they're doing really great work in bringing people out to enjoy our cultural tradition of fishing in Minnesota. I think that's good. You could argue that it's not cost-effective and shouldn't be state government. That, I think, is all good arguments, but if this $100,000 does keep the program going, there's a lot of chapters with a lot of people, and if you put it at that cost basis to say, well, this gets this many people to be able to do it for another year and gets it long term, maybe connected with some private sector folks that can keep it going, I think that's the discussion to have here. But I do think it's the appropriate fund. I mean, you could probably also argue it could come out of Parks and Trails, because it's, but I think this is a fund, and I don't know if it sets a precedent that now this is not funding hunting and or fishing activities with cultural money, to the point that it's allowing people to do some of that, but it's helping them pay for it. I don't see how this would be different than paying for the band to come and watch. This is helping the Rotary pay for the gasoline and Mr. Holm to buy the overriding umbrella insurance that he provides and the literature and stuff like that. I agree with everybody that this program needs to move on. And I came to this point really with the understanding this is a last-ditch effort to save it, because I think there was real serious issues with the local chapters without this. So, but I think it's appropriate fund. I would think any of the other ones would be much less appropriate. I really do believe that. Whether they can afford it or not is a discussion, but I don't think it would be appropriate in a different one, as appropriate as it is here.
Representative Winkler, another 40 years, you'll appreciate it much more.
Mr. Chair, I'm beginning to hope that in another 40 years, people will only be aware of the Legacy Fund in history books. Well, exactly. But, you know, Representative McNamara, I mean, I, you know, what your description of it sort of reminds me of all the good stories that we tell around at our hunting shack every year. And it never occurred to me that we should apply for legacy funding to have somebody come in and record all the stories we tell about the deer we almost shot.
Oral history.
Ampers.
Yeah, but I can see that I'm planting stories in your mind. But at least we'd be recording stories as opposed to just going out and going fishing. And I don't know if this program for getting state support doesn't seem any worse than most of the other things we fund around here. So I don't really care about this. They should live on their own 2 feet or any of that stuff, or the merits of the program. I think it's good, but it's pretty hard to say with a straight face that this fits under arts and cultural heritage.
Mr.
People like to go. This isn't the arts and recreational activities fund. You know, if you want to put all recreational activities underneath this category, you know, we should call it something else. It's supposed to be about arts and culture, and the voters actually passed it, and I think their vote should mean something.
Representative Winkler, were you in the room when I read from the Constitution?
No.
On this?
Mr. Chair, no, I wasn't.
I'm not going to belabor it here, and I'll just pass this over to you from Section 12 of the Constitution. Representative Wagenius.
I think it might be helpful for the committee to look at the source of, and staff could do this if the committee would like, look at this, how we paid for it before in previous years. I believe it came from the general fund, and there was talk about whether it should come from the hunting and fishing fund or the general fund at the time. And unfortunately, when you said, you know, it keeps the program alive and this is kind of have to have money to do that, I'm recalling that that's the same thing we were told 4 years ago. That makes me even more nervous about this.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative McNamara?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Wagenius' point, she's actually correct on both. I believe it was funded once with general fund and one time with game and fish, which was really unfortunate. That would be like taking the money out of Lassard Sam's or out of the habitat money. For here, it was not the correct thing to do. I don't believe you could argue for general fund potentially, but I think it's come out of both in the past. And if I'm not mistaken, it's gotten close to $1 million in aggregate over the last decade to this program. I'm thinking that it would be close to that.
Representative Wagenius?
Perhaps, Mr. Chair, we should ask staff how much money it's gotten over time from the state. I didn't think it was up to $1 million, but you may be right, and where the money came from.
Thank you, Representative Wagenius. Staff, would you research for us, please, and let us know at our next meeting?
Chair.
Thank you. Do you have a question? Representative Dill.
Well, I think that Representative Wagenius, Representative McNamara, and I have been on environment for 10 years. Environment finance. I know I have. I know Representative Wagenius has, and I think Denny, you, Representative McNamara, you have too. And I mean, this is a junkie deal from day one.
A representative junkie.
He's not a representative anymore.
No.
Yes.
Junkie,
a junkie deal. People might take that.
K-E, not K-I-E.
That's right. Anyway, I mean, from the very first day, this was a one-time appropriation, from day one. And I think the first appropriation that Representative Junkie made on this fine program is for $30,000. I think that was what he asked for. And you're right, Representative McNamara, we funded it out of Game and Fish, I think we have to make a decision if we're going to end this. I mean, Ducks Unlimited isn't getting money, and they're doing for this kind of thing to go duck hunting, and that's certainly a heritage in Minnesota. And the spearfishers aren't getting money to take veterans out for spearfishing, and that's certainly a heritage in Minnesota. And I'm on the wing now, but I could think of a lot of things. And you know, if it can demonstrate to me that it needs the funding for one more year to be self-sustaining, that's one question. is another question, to just fund it so that at the end of this funding period, it just doesn't do something or does it at a different level. Those are some things that I missed a bunch of the meeting here, and so maybe those questions were answered, but that's some of my concern. It's not about the veterans going fishing, but at Silver Bay, the community takes the veterans fishing on Lake Superior every year for free. There's no state money. There's none of that. And they take a lot of them. Now, I understand this is more spread out. So I made my point. I just think that since, let's see, this is my 10th year on environment finance, but this was never supposed to be.
Anything else? Representative Vogel.
Mr. Chair.
Comments?
Well, I thank you for hearing this. And I understand a lot of what you guys are saying, and I agree with a lot of it. In fact, I had initially told Mr. Holmes that I would not do this because I felt like he kept coming back. And he assured me, he guaranteed me that they would not be back again. And as long as I'm the representative from that district, I will not carry another bill for him on this. I can guarantee you that. It was a questionable thing. Even when my predecessor started this, I had objections to it then, because it actually was a $300,000 grant that got them going. But he did explain, and I sat with him for a couple of hours, asking him questions about, you know, what does this do, where do you go, and you know, and he explained all the, you know, the many different chapters, all the things that are going on, and the thousands of people that are being benefited from this program. And he said that after this year they will be self-sufficient, and they'll have to be one way or the other. And so with that, I just thank you for hearing this.
Well, thank you, Representative Vogel, and we will lay this over for possible inclusion, except Representative Wagenius.
We may want to ask, Mr. Chair, another question, and that is one that Representative Dill was leading us to, is they're asking us for money to expand. That's what I hear. Once they have expanded, two things. Will they be able to sustain that expansion? I don't know that that's the case. And what happens to all the boats they buy? I worry a lot about that. Is that what is this money for, is buying boats or not?
I don't think so. No. Representative Wagenius, Representative Vogel, could you note those questions, maybe get in touch with Mr. Holm and have the answer for us?
Yes, I could.
Representative McNamara?
Could I say I've met with Mr. Holm a number of times over the last 2 years, and as folks probably know, this was on the Senate side in the conference committee and the finance bill, and we did not accept the Senate's position, and it was one of those things that we felt pretty strongly about. Mr. Holm has come to me. This money will be used to reduce the cost of the local match to run the program. If this funding's not received, the local chapters will pay more to the organization for the services they provide. That this money is not to buy more boats. This money is so that the local chapters will not have to pay more to be part of the Let's Go Fishing. That is my understanding of exactly what, because as he transitions, this is a substantially smaller part of his two-year budget than what he's gotten in the past under the former representative's push. So this is a transition to less or to self-sufficiency. This is the smallest amount he's ever gotten in a two-year. I might be, Representative Dill could be right, at the beginning of the program it might have been a smaller amount, but it was relatively significant. I know, if I'm not mistaken, one biennium got, I believe, at least $300,000 for one biennium, and it may even been as high as $300,000 a year. I'm pretty sure it's total in excess of $1,000. I think that's a great idea for us to have that, the level of funding over the last 10 years and what funds it came from. But this money will be used to help chapters have to pay less for bringing people out on their boats this coming season. is what Mr. Holm has told me that it would be for.
Representative Virginius?
Well, that does, thank you, Mr. Chair, raise again the question of sustainability. I mean, that's what, I mean, that is their model. What happens next year when we don't have the matching fund to bring the local chapter down? I mean, this has been an ongoing discussion. I mean, I hate to beat a dead horse. It's not a dead horse, it's a live horse. Beat this horse. But I'm just hearing arguments that I've heard over years.
Spear a dead fish or something.
Yeah.
Well, Representative Virginius, you've raised some questions. I've asked Representative Vogel to take note of those, and we'll get some answers. With that, Representative Vogel, we will lay this over for possible inclusion, and I would encourage you to tell Mr. Holm a couple of things. First, he's got to get his fish out of the wading pool and teach them to swim on their own. And secondly, if he asks for more money, I'll go back and change that grade I gave him in seventh grade.
All right, Mr. Chair, I'll do that. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
And then, Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
And then, Mr. Chair, we'll have the figures of what funds have money.
Yes. We will try to get a accounting of where we are right now with all the funds again before our next meeting. So with that, I would like the Republican members to meet up in here for just a few minutes afterwards. And if there's nothing else, well, King, this case is closed.